Hey leaders, you're in for a special treat today as Lorna Hewson talks about the path of what, why, and how as it pertains to the development of behavior continuous support and attendance continuous support, and how those two particular areas are different in their process for building a continuum compared to, say, the traditional literacy and numeracy continuums that we have several samples of. Stay tuned for more.
Leading organizations with intentionality and purpose is complex work, and dedicated leaders work tirelessly each and every day to build impactful cultures of collaboration. But effective collaboration is difficult and messy. The good news is you don't have to do it alone. Join the Jigsaw Learning Team for Leading Collaborative Response, sharing insights for leaders committed to establishing, refining, and deepening collaborative response in their organization.
Welcome back to Leading Collaborative Response. I'm Jennifer Ferguson. We collab lead with Jigsaw Learning, and I have the good fortune to get to speak once again with Lorna Hewson, lead learner and co-founder of Jigsaw Learning. So hi, Lorna.
Hi, Jen. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I'm a little envious. I hear you're headed to the Kananaskis.
We most certainly are. Yeah. We have a big trip for my mom and dad. Actually, they have planned to go out to William Watson Lodge, and they're going to be out there for about a week. And my older sister is going to be there the whole time with them. I'm going to go out for a couple of days, and the rest of the family are all kind of alternating a number of days out there. So it will be really great to have some time with mom and dad, especially out there in the Kananaskis. It is so beautiful, Jen.
It's one of my favorite places to strap on my running shoes and walk along a path and see what I see. So that's where I said I'm envious.
Yeah, we are super excited. And actually, my aunt and my cousin are going to be out there as well, which I haven't seen either of them for a really long time. So it'll be pretty fantastic to be able to visit a little bit with them as well. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it. In the middle of a busy time, because of course we've started up with all of our work and in schools. And so I'm going to be down in Tabor doing some sessions, and then I'm going to swing over to Kananaskis to spend a few days with the family there. So yeah, busy times.
And it's funny how we always make things work when they're priorities, right? You just find the time to fit it all in.
Yeah. You know, my mom and dad are not getting any younger. So you kind of have to take opportunities when you can, because you don't know, you know, how much time there is.
Enjoy every moment, my friend.
We certainly will.
So that notion of making time for things that are priorities is kind of going to fit in here with our discussion around behavior continuums and attendance continuums. And before we dive into that, I'm going to get you to put back your collaborative response hat on. For our audience that's new here, that isn't familiar with collaborative response, can you kind of give an overview of what a continuum of supports is as it pertains to the whole framework?
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of a big question to ask, Janet, but I'll do my best to be succinct. So when we think about collaborative response, of course, there are three essential components. So your collaborative structures and processes, data and evidence, and then your continuum of supports. Your continuum of supports is really what are the things that we do as adults in the building to support the needs of our students. So this is really the what do we do when we identify that there is an area of support for a student. So when we think about that, it is such a huge component of collaborative response, knowing that this is an opportunity for us to be able to open up the toolboxes of all of those teachers who are in your building, and being able to share practices with each other, be able to identify practices that are common across classrooms, to clarify some expertise that we have in the building, and that opportunity to really identify what are our core practices that we adhere to across all of our classrooms to ensure there's some that consistent practice from room to room across the building. So thinking about the bigger idea of what what that continuum of support is, in that too, Jen, when we develop those continuum, we always identify an area of focus. And we didn't always do this. When we first started our work, we did think that we could create a continuum of supports that would encompass anything that we did in the school. And of course, over time, we realized that there's way too many things to be said in every individual area. And so now we really encourage schools to create a continuum that is around a particular focus area, for instance, reading or relationships or numeracy or behavior and attendance. So we do build continuum separate. Just want to take a moment too, Jen, to talk a little bit about where we came from that idea of a pyramid of interventions. When we began this work, we really focused on, and we were taking a lot of our background knowledge and understanding from response to intervention, which included that concept of a pyramid of interventions, which really is about how we see or how we will be providing supports for our students and how, in terms of population, the students would be served by our supports across the school. So with that, within that thinking of, you know, three tiers, one is universal. The majority of our students would have their needs met at that universal space. Then targeted supports, which would be more individualized for students. And then, of course, the most intensive supports being individualized and including people who are external to the building. As we began our work, we realized that part of that idea around pyramid is that we're talking about placing students on the pyramid. And that whole concept of the majority of your students should be served in that tier one, it provides that visual that it's students that we are talking about when we talk about a pyramid of interventions. We moved to the idea of a continuum of supports because now we're talking about what we do as adults to support the needs of students. So it's not that we are placing children on a pyramid, but now we're saying, here are all the supports that we provide for students in their particular area of need. So within collaborative response, then, we actually have four tiers in our continuum. And those four tiers are critical in providing various levels of support for students. So that tier one being what we do in the classroom for all students, tier two being what we do for some students some of the time, tier three, what are the supports that we provide across the school, and then tier four, what are the supports that we need to access external partners to be able to provide those most intensive supports for students. So just thinking about that shift and the foundations of where we started with this idea of our continuum of supports, Jen, we have a ton of examples, samples of continuum that we've gathered from different schools on different focus areas, from elementaries to high schools, you name it. We have a lot of those samples available if you want to take a look at those.
Absolutely. I'll make sure to link the website in the show notes for our audience. So Lorna, I get the good fortune. I mean, I've known you and Curtis for decades, and I've seen the growth of collaborative response, and I've seen how we have shifted some things in terms of, rather than just randomly picking a focus area, picking a one that is aligned to the overarching goals, whether it be, you know, we're picking goals at the district level based on the province or at the school level based on the district goals, and aligning them with the plans that are in place there. Quite often, however, behavior and or attendance aren't necessarily part of those big goals, those mm-hmm. core goals. We normally get literacy, numeracy, well-being.
Yeah.
So why, this is a big question, why do we need separate continuum for behavior and attendance?
So I would say that the reason is actually the same, is we have a continuum of supports for anything else. And that is, this is how we identify how we provide support for students. And so we want to be able to do that in every area that is of concern. And let's think about this, Jen, for a minute. Whenever we ask a teacher, what is your primary concern at this point in time in your classroom? Where does it almost always start?
I can't get them to cooperate, or I can't teach them because they're not here.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, both of them always start in any time that you talk with a teacher. It's usually that concern around behavior is first and foremost. It's most pressing on their mind, and it's most disruptive to the overall learning, which causes teachers great concern. So first of all, yes, you're right that we don't often identify behavior or attendance as those overarching goals that are impacted from the district to the school to what's happening in classrooms. But we do know that behavior and attendance have significant influence and impact on a student's ability to learn and to engage. So we want to be able to make sure that we are attending to those pieces as well. And again, it's the same reason that we develop a continuum around reading. It's identifying practices that we know are successful in developing good readers. We're going to name all of the things that we do to support learners in that area. Same thing that we do for behavior or for attendance is that we're going to really look at what are some of the things that we can do to be able to support students who are struggling in those particular areas. But Jen, there is one extra step. So when we think about developing a continuum of supports in, again, let's say reading, then we would bring our staff together, give them lots and lots of sticky notes because we love sticky notes. And I do.
You're talking, you're preaching to the choir, my friend. I've got them all over my computer.
Me too. We give them lots of sticky notes and then we start this conversation simply, and this is a big messy conversation, but it's a great conversation. We start with, what do you do when a student struggles in reading? And we begin by having teachers name all of the strategies that they use to support a student when they are teaching them how to read. Of course, you end up with lots and lots and lots of sticky notes because every teacher creates their own. And then you take the next step to be able to say, okay, so now we are going to name all of those strategies or determine where they fit on our continuum. Are they fitting within that overall practice within the classroom, which is tier one? Are they strategies that we use for some students some of the time? Are they school-wide supports, which might be interventions if you're talking about reading? And then more individualized, what are some things that we need to do for specific students who have more intensive needs? So we begin to put those into those four categories. And in a school gym, we have four walls. We put the sticky notes on each wall. Usually we don't have a whole lot for tier four or tier three, but tons show up in tier one and tier two. And the beauty of developing this continuum in this way is that everyone's thoughts are represented because each individual person who is engaging in this is writing down their own ideas. And then when we put them up on the wall, we group them. So if there are common strategies, we're asking teachers to pile them up all together. And if they're individual strategies, that's okay. They rest on their own. It's such a great visual representation of what's happening in the school. You step back and you take a look and see this is a common practice that most of our teachers are doing across the school. And that's fantastic. Identifies some of those core principles that are important across the school. And however they have learned them, it doesn't matter. And then it also identifies that there are some singular strategies that perhaps are unique, or perhaps we haven't, some teachers just hadn't thought about that in the moment. But the best thing, Jen, about that process is the conversations that take place as teachers are putting up those strategies. And so there's a little bit of debate that goes on about whether they believe that that's tier one, we do that for all, or if it's tier two, we do that for some. And so that debate becomes a really fantastic conversation, really powerful in discussing practice clearly. So
I was gonna say, having had the opportunity that you have provided me by being able to go out and work in schools around this process, there is nothing like the passion and the energy that comes from teachers who have an opportunity to say, wow, look at what I do.
Yeah.
And then a school to take a look at a walls to say, wow, look at what we do.
And it's such an exciting moment because it truly is honoring practice that's occurring in the building. And it's not about, you know, well, you shouldn't be doing this or you should be doing this. It's about what do we do that we have seen evidence of student growth through those particular strategies. And oh, are we ever doing a lot for the students in our building? So it is a very impactful conversation, but messy. As I said, that first iteration becomes, so who's going to take the sticky notes off the wall to put them into a document? But really, truly, it can be a very simple table to start when you're thinking about that development. The continuum that we have on our website as samples, there are some that are fairly complex, but have gone through many, many revisions. So know that first exercise of being able to identify strategies on sticky notes is by no means the end product, because it does take a number of revisions before you get there.
You've talked, Lorna, that we get to talk about continuums a number of times through the various podcasts that we do. And your big thing is it's more than a pretty poster.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not a one and done.
No, not at all. And matter of fact, I was with a high school not too long ago where they had created their poster and they laminated it. But what they did with it, though, is to post it in their meeting space. And then they took whiteboard markers and then they started to add strategies in as they thought of them, cross off things that they thought, well, we actually don't use that very often in our work. And when it got really, really messy, they would take it down, update the continuum, and then laminate it and put it back up again. I love that process because it's about living the work that you have identified that is important in your school. So actually adding to and reducing from what those original conversations were about.
That's beautiful. A beautiful process. So Lorna, I'm going to bring you back because we started talking about the development of the continuum and you said, when it comes to a behavior continuum, it's not our typical process. There's an extra step.
There is. Yeah.
So can I get you to elaborate on that for our audience?
Yeah, you bet. So the problem with either the focus area around behavior or attendance is that we're actually not getting to identify the issues that are actually occurring in order for us to identify strategies that would support those key issues. So when we first started this work, We developed a continuum of supports in our school around behavior. And what actually ended up happening, which we also see many schools do the same thing, is that we ended up with a pyramid of consequences. Because when we say, what do we do to support the needs of our students in the area of behavior? The first thing that surfaces is all of the behaviors that we see. Now, what we actually see on the surface and what's in behind the visible behavior are very different things. And so when we try to attend to the behaviors themselves, then we end up with consequences around those behaviors. So it ends up being talks about in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension, or, you know, what is there a timeout area, or is there like the all these consequences that address the immediate concern that is in front of a teacher. But what we actually want to do is to add in one more step to figure out what is that behavior actually communicating. So we recognize that all behavior, that's it, whatever you're seeing, whether it's the yelling or the tearing up of the assignment or the walking out of the room, those behaviors themselves are not going to allow us to respond with a support, but rather response. So we want to be able to get past that. And of course, you're going to build your continuum of supports around behavior or attendance in a space where you're not in that reactive space, but being able to really think about what are the things that are contributing to the observable behaviors. So, Jen, when we think about the comparison between developing a typical continuum of supports, starting with that question of what do you do when a student struggles with, if we say behavior, then we need to take the next step to be able to say, okay, what are all of those observed behaviors? So we want to take the first thought around what is it that you're actually seeing when you're thinking about supporting a student who is really struggling with behaviors. So you're going to identify what you actually see. Then rather than jumping straight to the support, because this is where we make that mistake of going to consequences next, is that we add in an additional step to say, if you're seeing this behavior, then what are the possible things that student is trying to communicate to you through that behavior? We know that the behavior is not at all what they're trying to communicate, but we know that there are lots of other things that are going on underneath the surface. And that is what we want to identify and then create a number of different supports that we can look at in terms of what the behavior is trying to communicate. So let me just give you an example, Jen. Let's say that we have identified that there's a student who is tearing up their work. And so the behavior is that destruction of property, or if you want to put it in intensive terms, but they're tearing up their work. What are some of the things that might be causing them to do that? So it might be that they're angry. It might be that they're frustrated. Perhaps they actually don't know how to do the assignment that you've set out before them. Perhaps something has happened prior to them engaging in that work. So what time of the day is that behavior actually occurring? Because that might give us a hint too as to what is that communicating. So when we see that behavior, then we want to be able to, in developing our continuum, we want to list all those behaviors we're seeing, then list possible reasons that we might be looking at that behavior. So when we think about that example or tearing up their paper, and we think that, okay, so they might be frustrated because they actually don't know how to get the work started. And rather than asking the question, they just rip up their paper because then it's avoidance. There's another one, avoidance. Then if it is that they're frustrated, then what are some things that we can do to address the frustration, which in turn will address the behavior? So it's kind of that backward steps that we need to take a few steps back from it in order to identify what are they trying to communicate, and then how do we support what they're trying to tell you about that behavior.
So Lorna, I'm just going to point out to our viewers and our listeners here that in the show notes, we're linking to a slideshow that talks a little bit about the development of a behavior continuum supports. And within that slideshow, the images of the trees are incredibly powerful, right? Because it differentiates between the external behaviors, the what are we seeing, the symptoms or the reactions to those internal behaviors, mm-hmm. right? What is actually the cause? So the visuals are there. You're more than willing to share them, which I think is fantastic, because sometimes it's easier to see instead of just hearing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and really glad to be able to share that in that slide deck as well, Jen. We've got a number of templates that are included to help you walk through that process of identifying your behaviors, then identifying possible causes, and then identify supports that would help with those possible causes. And again, not jumping all the way back to those observable behaviors. So there's definitely an additional step in there that you need to attend to when you're thinking about behavior. Otherwise, you end up with a pyramid of consequences.
And I think about that, like even as a classroom teacher, that notion of co-created expectations, going back to, like, I think about my first year of teaching, and it was, you know, the first strike, second strike, third strike, yeah. Like that's kind of what I was taught. And then I reflect back on, okay, 15 years later, I was not using that anymore because this made way more sense.
yeah, that's right. You know, one of the people that we have relied on heavily around the behavior kind of understanding is Ross Green. And you think about the work that he does and talking about kids do well if they can. So they're kids with that perception that kids are doing the very best that they can. But sometimes that behavior is all they know. That's all they can give you. And so we need to be able to step back, look at that behavior, understanding or taking time to be able to think, you know, what could possibly be leading them to engage in that behavior, and then to provide supports based on that.
LR knows when little people are overwhelmed by big emotions, it's our job to share our calm, not join their chaos.
So true. Thanks for sharing that, Jen, too, because when you think about that, when we develop our continuum of supports, then we actually are moving to actionable supports that will make a difference to a student, not only to just address their behavior, but you could be giving them strategies that will serve them lifelong, which is really powerful.
So, Lorna, when we think about behavior, and then we talk about attendance. So we've kind of gone through that process of behavior now. I learned in a school where our conversations were always, attendance is a behavior. Attendance is a symptom of something else. So if we're going to separate behavior and attendance into continuums, is the process similar?
Yeah, actually, Jen, we do talk about that idea that attendance is just symptomatic of something else that's actually happening. And so in that same thought process, we identify, you know, what are the areas that attendance is your primary symptom, right? But what are the things that are getting in the way for students to be able to attend? And then we develop supports that help to address those areas where we've identified what's getting in the way of them attending. The only other, well, both with behavior and attendance, I'd say the same thing. Our data gathering is really critical here too. So really understanding when and why behaviors are happening and gathering that data around, and it can be in a very simple, you know, the ABC, documenting antecedent behavior and consequence allows you to get that picture of, you know, are there regular times throughout the day that particular behaviors are happening, or are there regular instances where behaviors are happening? That really allows us to fine tune. Looking at our data allows us to really identify what's happening for a particular student. But attendance is the same thing, the same way as well, that you want to be able to gather your information around attendance in a consistent manner and really reflect on, you know, are there certain times that a student is absent? And same thing with lates too, like it can be addressed in that same way as well. So really looking at your data to help inform what's actually happening, and then moving to why, the why, and then moving to how do we support the reason for that attendance issue or that the reason for that behavior issue.
Really like this process, Lorna. So what is happening? Why is it happening? How can we address it to better support the student? Mm-hmm. And I really want to hone in on that last part, because you talked about it in the very beginning when you talked about a continuum. What are the adults in this building doing to support the student? And so there's a lot of times when conversations about behavior and attendance, sometimes our attention gets diverted, right? Mm-hmm. To things that are beyond, right? And so we start hearing the things of, well, I can't get them an alarm clock, or that whole notion of the continuum of supports is really about what is within our locus of control to try and make things better for this child.
Yeah. And Jen, that locus of control is really critical in both of these situations, because there are going to be things that are behind the behavior or attendance that really we can't impact. But clearly identifying, you know, what are the things that we can? So we don't say we can't control that. We can't make that child come to school. But what can we control, or what can we do? Because there are things still that we can do as a team, as a school, as a teacher, to be able to support that student in their areas. And truly, this is about understanding each child and the situation that they're in, and being able to address those areas as they arise. But even beyond that, Jen, the beauty of our continuum of supports is that it's not one teacher at a time identifying a student that they're struggling with and then, you know, trying to figure out what am I going to do to support them in those particular areas. But as a whole school, we now have created a number of ideas around supports and strategies that we could put in place. And so you're not in this alone. Your whole school is helping to formulate ideas and possibilities for students who are exhibiting those behaviors or attendance issues.
So Lorna, I know that in a very short period of time here, one of our partners is scheduled some time for your attention. So I know I'm going to have to let you go. So let me highlight a few things here, knowing that this work around behavior and attendance, I mean, literacy and numeracy, those are complex in their own ways. There is a complexity in this process. And so I know that you have a number of workshops coming up in the spring that you're going to be talking about the development of continuums and perhaps digging a little more deeply into these ones in particular. So if anyone is interested in joining Lorna for those workshops, I'm going to recommend you sign up to become a JL Insider. The link is down in the show notes so that you can be notified of when those workshops will be taking place. And if you can't wait that long, By all means, take a look at the Collaborative Response membership, also down in the show notes, because there are a number of resources available in there. And when I say resources, I'm not talking just pieces of paper and documents you have to read. There are videos, there are samples, there are a whole host of things, because we like our things, Lorna.
We do. Yeah, but, Jen, there's even slide decks there that allow you to work through the process using those slide decks too. So there's lots and lots of resources, and you know, we love templates too. So there's a lot of those.
And it's not only about the development, but it's about the refinement and the implementation and like effective use of Continuum. So if you can't wait for Lorna's workshops, by all means, check out the membership. So Lorna, thank you for taking the time to open up this conversation to differentiate between how attendance and behavior continuums of support are just that little bit different, and that process of developing them has that extra step, that why.
Yeah.
In comparison.
Thank you so much, Jen. And as always, it's been a pleasure. I hope that what we talked about today is helpful to all of you out there. And please reach out if you have any questions.
Lorna's vast experience in the area of student supports from her school and division level positions she held before taking Jigsaw Learning as her full-time role are clearly evident when she speaks of how we support students, and her passion around that notion that every child deserves a team comes through when she talks about the collective process of supporting kids. With respect to the development and the build and the refinement of behavior continuums of support and attendance continuums of support, there are two key learnings for me that came out from our conversation. The first one being, we need these continuums. So as much as we talk about aligning focus areas and aligning priorities, we also have to identify areas of concern. And for the classroom teacher, it really is typically, how do I get the kids in my class and how do I get them to cooperate when they're here? And so that idea of an explicit articulation of how we can support kids in those areas that concern us as teachers is really important, which is why we need these continuums specifically. The second key learning is that highlight of there's an extra step. It's not the typical development, because we have to take a look at what we're seeing above ground with the tree and what's actually being demonstrated below based on what we see. So connecting that, what is the child doing? And then adding in that step of, why is the child doing that? Because it is the cause that we need to identify in order to select the appropriate support to get them what they need in order to be successful. So Lorna really likened it to that notion of, if you stopped at the what are we seeing, we're going to have that pyramid or continuum of consequences. It just made me really feel like, you know, here's a whole doomsday thing coming at you. When really what we're trying to articulate is, what can we do as adults? She talked about that whole notion of the continuum is the actions of the adults, the supports that we're putting in place for kids, that locus of control. What can we do as the adults based on what we see and why we're seeing it in order to address the why, that we can help support these students? So if you have any interest in learning more about a behavior or an attendance continuous supports, I urge you to reach out to Lorna either via the email down in the show notes or go check out some of the resources on the website. As always, the goal of Jigsaw Learning is to support collaboration in the context in which it's occurring. Take care.